You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business. Success. Today we are speaking with Neil Doshi and Lindsay McGregor, co-founders of Vega Factor and co-authors of Prime to Perform, which explores the ability for companies to create high-performing cultures with employees who are fully engaged in their work and are at peak performance levels at all times. Neil and Lindsay calls this total motivation. Neil and Lindsay, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. The pleasure is certainly ours. So first of all, Lindsay, for starters, in your new book, Prime to Perform, you explain the science of total motivation, which consists of play, purpose, and potential. Can you briefly explain these to our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. We started to understand these motives when we were having conversations with executives, when they said things to us like, "It feels like the magic of business is fading. We used to have a great magical culture and it's gone. How do we fix it?" And when somebody defines the problem as a magical culture, that's a really difficult problem to solve. How do you fix magic? We needed a way to turn that magic into science. And so to solve that, we began testing all of these different theories behind culture. And it boiled down to this really simple understanding that why you work determines how well you work. The why determines how well. But even that wasn't specific enough for you to actually build a great culture. You couldn't engineer with that. And it turns out there was this framework of reasons why people work that was first created in the 1980s by two professors from the University of Rochester, Edward Deci and Richard Ryan. And that framework of reasons predicted how well people actually did their job. And cultures that were built on those reasons created the highest levels of performance. And these six reasons why people work range from when the reason is directly connected to the work itself to when your reason or motive for working is completely separate from the work. The first one you mentioned, play, is when you work simply because you enjoy the work itself. So it's why I love to write and research. It's why Neil enjoys woodworking and photography. We do those things simply because we enjoy them. This is the most powerful motive of all, and that's directly connected to the work. But if you take a step away from the work itself, you get to the second motive called purpose. And this is when you do something because you believe in the impact of your work. So, for example, my grandmother was a nurse. She did not always find play, but she deeply believed in the impact and she had purpose. The third motive is potential, and this is when you're doing something for an indirect reason, an indirect outcome of the work. So imagine a paralegal, for example. They may or may not find play in filing briefs. They may or may not find purpose in their customers, but they do think that this job is an important stepping stone to get to the next level. They want to be a lawyer one day. That's the potential motive. Play, purpose, and potential are what we call the direct motives because in some way they're directly related to the work itself. But there's actually three more motives that are even further removed from the work itself that start to hurt performance. Emotional pressure is when you're doing something to avoid a negative emotion like shame or guilt or insecurity. This is why I played the piano growing up. Due to some emotional pressure. Economic pressure is when you're doing something to gain a reward or avoid a punishment. And inertia is when you do something and you have no idea why you're still doing it. And surprisingly, that's pretty common in the workplace. So what we were able to do is actually realize that you could add up how much play, purpose, and potential somebody felt, and how much of those indirect motives, which are emotional pressure, economic pressure, and inertia somebody felt, and come up with this one concept called total motivation, or what we call TOMO for short. And when we've studied this total motivation in 20,000 people around the world and at 50 major companies, it turns out that cultures that inspire total motivation leads to much higher levels of performance.
Neil, how did you stumble across total motivation? What was it that caused you to analyze the correlation between total motivation and a company's performance?
Well, my very first job, so this is something like almost 20 years ago now, I worked at this giant institution. My sign for a giant institution is the fact that there was a second Neil Doshi working at this place, if that gives you a sense of how large this place was. And at the time, there was something not feeling right about its culture. Like Lindsay describes, even we were feeling like the magic was fading. And so we could diagnose that something wasn't quite right. We could probably even identify when a culture felt great. And I thought that maybe that was enough to build a great one. So I left this organization to help start a company. We ended up growing it to about 100 people. And I thought, with a blank sheet of paper and that kind of awareness, shouldn't I have been able to build a truly great culture? And it turns out I really couldn't. Even with the ability to know if it was good or not, I still couldn't build a great one. And so we set out to really figure out, how can we not just identify great cultures, but turn it into something that can be measured, something that can be quantified, something that can prove performance. And so what we did was we came up with dozens and dozens of different theories that might explain great cultures. TOMO, or total motivation, wasn't our only theory. It was just one of many. And we ended up testing all of them. We surveyed and experimented with thousands of people in the workplace. I remember this one night in particular. We got the survey results back, data back, on one of our experiments where we squarely tested whether or not TOMO predicted performance at some of the largest companies in the world. And we were crunching through the numbers, and what I saw was incredible. It was this incredibly tight correlation and predictive power between whether or not an organization had high TOMO and its performance. I remember that night I turned around and said to Lindsay, I think we found the code. We cracked the code on what is a high-performing culture.
Awesome stuff. And in the book, you describe a way for managers to calculate total motivation within their organizations. Can you describe this method and how it works?
It's a great question because it's so important to measure this stuff. There's the old adage that what gets measured gets managed. And when you have a tiny company, you can understand the motivation of your people through gut instinct. But as soon as you start to scale, especially when you get to around 50 people, you can't build a culture through that gut instinct. You have to manage it like any other asset. You have to measure it, analyze it, and continuously improve it. So to measure total motivation, it's six very simple questions asking why people work. There's one question for each motive. And you can then take people's answers to each of those questions and add them up. You add up how much play, purpose, and potential people feel, and you subtract how much emotional pressure, economic pressure, and inertia they feel. And each of those motives has a different weight. So, for example, play is about twice as powerful as purpose, which is something I did not expect going into this. I had always been taught growing up that purpose was the most important thing to find in life. But when I experienced in the job that I couldn't quite understand was, even when I had a job with a great purpose, for example, working at a nonprofit, I sometimes wasn't that motivated because I didn't have play in the actual activity I was doing day to day. And it's so important to find both play and purpose. So once you measure all of these different motives, you add them up, you get this total motivation score. It's very easy math. It's in Prime to Perform. It's also on our website where you can just enter your answers and it'll calculate your total motivation score for you on primetoperform.com. And the measurement has revealed some fascinating things. So, for example, we measured total motivation in a school system where they thought that the issue was that teachers weren't feeling the purpose of their work. But in reality, they had a lot of purpose, but not a lot of play. Another really interesting discovery from measuring the total motivation of a group of associates at a retail store was that the associates who interacted with customers actually had lower levels of total motivation than those who didn't deal with customers, where at most organizations, the reverse is true. So it was a real red flag that something was going on there and we needed to probe deeper. So really measuring your total motivation enables you to start understanding where your culture is strong and where it's weak, and which of the motives might be the area you really need to focus in on.
If you've been looking for better performance and total motivation, it certainly looks like you have found the source. Today we are joined by both Neil Doshi and Lindsay McGregor, co-authors of Prime to Perform, which explores the ability for companies to create high-performing cultures with employees who are fully engaged with their work and are at peak performance levels at all times, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Neil, during your research and consulting, what are some of the most common mistakes companies make while managing employees?
Well, Eric, have you ever called a call center and you can tell the person that you're talking to is reading a script back to you?
I certainly have, often, every day. Didn't feel very personal, that's for sure.
The funny thing is that person reading the script back to you almost certainly didn't want to be doing that. But what you're witnessing is a manifestation of an organization overemphasizing something that is called tactical performance. Tactical performance is quite specifically how well your people are sticking to their plan. So an organization uses things like quarterly goals or performance management systems or stack ranking or call listening, scripts. All of this machinery is really the machinery of tactical performance, keeping people on plan. However, what we've realized is there's a completely different type of performance. We call it adaptive performance. If tactical performance is how well your people stick to their plan, adaptive performance is how well they diverge from their plan. It's literally the exact opposite. And every situation, every role in an organization needs adaptive performance because nothing is predictable. There was one time a friend of mine was traveling through rural China with another friend. The second friend had a peanut allergy. In a small restaurant in a village, she ended up going into anaphylactic shock. They rushed her to a hospital, but no one spoke English, so they couldn't actually communicate to the doctor what was going on. While her friend's throat was closing up on her, the other one decided for some reason to call the customer service for her credit card company. And somehow the person on the other end of that line adapted immediately, found a translator, got them on the phone, and saved this person's life. That's adaptive performance. Now, that's a dramatic example of adaptive performance. Small examples happen every single day when you adapt around the needs of your customer, your market, changing competitive situations, changing macroeconomics, changing technology. Change is the constant. However, when organizations think about performance, they tend to only think about tactical. They overemphasize tactical. Because tactical is the opposite of adaptive, they end up destroying adaptive along with that. For us, that is the single biggest mistake that organizations make when driving their own performance, and that's why they need to know what total motivation is, because it is the source of adaptive performance.
Makes a lot of sense, and you are both on a mission to change the way we think about company culture and how leaders train and grow their workforce, with big corporations showing their true colors when it comes to caring about employees. The kind of advice that you're providing is key to beginning a paradigm shift. What are a few of these takeaways you hope readers have from Prime to Perform?
Well, the first takeaway is people can actively manage their culture. It's not magic. It's something that we can boil down into specific parts of their organization, specific levers that can actually be purpose-built. They can be engineered methodologically. In Prime to Perform, we describe the very specific things that a business leader or a team leader can actually do to actually manage a culture. The second thing that people need to take away from this is the concept of TOMO, that if an organization's culture maximizes the play, purpose, and potential that their people feel and minimizes the emotional pressure, economic pressure, and inertia that their people feel, this is what leads to the highest levels of performance. And the last thing is this concept of tactical and adaptive performance, that organizations often mistakenly think that the only form of performance is tactical, so they use emotional pressure, economic pressure, and inertia to drive it, not realizing that they've actually destroyed something really important in the process. If they understand the duality between tactical and adaptive, that will help them build better, higher-performing organizations.
Well, it certainly has been great to have had the both of you here today. It certainly is a great lesson and certainly motivating us not only to get motivated, but to certainly pick up this book. Lindsay, if you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information online, where they can pick up the book Prime to Perform, and how listeners can be in touch.
Absolutely. If they go to www.primetoperform.com, there's lots more information about the book there, our email addresses and contact information. And the most interesting thing there is a survey that anybody can take to measure their own total motivation, and a team survey that they can send out to their team, where the whole team can assess their total motivation and what about their job may be contributing to it or taking away from it. They'll get back a report with all of these interesting metrics and questions for discussion so they can have an active discussion with each other about how to improve the culture of their team or organization.
Well, Neil and Lindsay, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. It is primetoperform.com. Thanks for being with us here today on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Neil Doshi and Lindsay McGregor, co-founders of Vega Factor and co-authors of Prime to Perform, which explores the ability for companies to create high-performing cultures with employees who are fully engaged in their work and are at peak performance levels at all times. And the website of reference, and for more information, is primetoperform.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.